You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
There was an interesting bit of news this week. Actor and ex-BJP member Shatrughan Sinha criticized the government about the state of the economy. He tweeted, and we quote, "Sir, the economic slowdown clearly seems to be everyone's talking point right now. Don't you think we should do something about it?" Unquote. He also offered assistance, tweeting, and we quote again, "We are more than happy to help," unquote. Hamming aside, Mr. Sinha touched upon a subject that could well become the government's biggest headache in a year that is seeing Modi 2.0 rush through campaign promises from the last 5 years. Many media outlets have referred more than once to structural slowdowns and or an imminent recession. One of the most cliched cliches of all time says that there's no smoke without fire. So what is going on with the economy that keeps Shatrughan Sinha awake at night? According to media reports, despite business sentiment in India getting better in the fiscal first quarter, it has again taken a beating. An RBI survey report said that industrialists expect their businesses to perform weaker in the second quarter amid fears of an economic slowdown. In responses from about 1,231 companies, growth in production, order and capacity utilization is expected to substantially decrease in Q2 FY20, according to an RBI Industrial Outlook survey of the manufacturing sector. Though the demand is expected to increase in the second quarter, sentiments on the availability of finance from banks and internal accruals remained weak. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman famously announced a slew of relief measures for a slowing economy, including the scrapping of the angel tax for startups. In this episode of Digging Deeper, we're going to examine if there is indeed a looming economic disaster. Welcome to this Money Control podcast. I'm Sheetal.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
The slowdown is coming or is already here. One Money Control report recounted the current situation from the point of view of the financial sector. We quote, "The economic slowdown is clearly the talk of the town, from boardrooms to bazaars. While financial markets and businesses are looking to the government to salvage the situation, which is now hurting industries ranging from automobiles to soaps, shampoos and biscuits, nobody really knows what is needed to come out of the mess," unquote. An analysis in the Economic Times about the prevailing scenario claimed that the economy is going through a slow phase or a slowdown. GDP growth registered one of the lowest rates, 5.8% in the last quarter of FY19. GDP growth rate for the first quarter of FY20 is now expected to be lower than 5.8%. While there seems to be a growing consensus that India's economy is slowing down, the debate is still on whether the slowdown is structural or cyclical. What does it really mean, cyclical or structural? Well, a cyclical slowdown is part of the business cycle having its peaks and troughs. The economy will move in cycles, with phases of peak performance followed by downturns and troughs of low activity. Now, these are expected to be short-term problems that can be resolved with an adequate mix of fiscal and monetary policies. Structural, on the other hand, is self-explanatory. The problems of the economy can go to deeper levels, impeding the efficient and fair production of goods and services. A monetary and fiscal stimulus may not prove adequate to revive the economy. Overcoming such challenges would require the government to undertake some structural policies. For instance, the reforms that were carried out to address the crisis in 1991, when P.V. Narasimha Rao and Manmohan Singh navigated troubled waters, were structural reforms. A Money Control analysis stated bluntly, and we quote, "It's naive to assume the current slowdown is a cyclical one. Instead, it is more structural in nature and needs a radical policy shift, or else the problem will only get worse in the future," unquote. If that is the case, then what are these structural challenges? In simple terms, the twin drivers of our economy in the recent past, high growth in private or household consumption, led by a declining household savings rate, and high growth in government spending, led by high consolidated fiscal deficits, these could be running out of steam. Experts claim that they do not expect any imminent revival in private investment. Structural factors contributing to a slowdown are evident from the fact that successive rate cuts by the RBI have not yielded desired results. The limited fiscal space prevented the government from announcing any stimulus package in the budget. However, if the government had gone for a fiscal stimulus, it could have only a limited impact in addressing the present crisis. Further, NBFC or non-banking financial company liquidity and solvency issues could persist and perhaps even percolate into other parts of the financial system, given the deep connection between real estate developers, housing finance companies, banks, and bond markets. Breaking down the slowdown. A Goldman Sachs research report titled India's Economic Slowdown, This Episode is Different, provides useful pointers. That report shows that something like 50% of the slowdown is explained by tight liquidity and low consumer confidence, and just over 40% by slowing global economic activity. Another important finding is that the absence of a fiscal stimulus explains around 7% of the slowdown. Policy choices and dilemmas are clear from these numbers. The net effect of domestic boosters may end up being a small positive, or not even that, depending on the impact of the global drag. The obvious question that follows is this one. Does India's economy require structural policies or a stimulus package through monetary and fiscal policy? The analysis in the Economic Times examined the performance of various indicators that help assess whether the slowdown is cyclical or structural. It said, and we quote, "The economic growth of any country is driven by a virtuous cycle of savings, investment, and exports. Of all the three, investment is considered to be the key driver of growth. To quote the Economic Survey 2019, investment, especially private investment, is the key driver that drives demand, creates capacity, increases labor productivity, introduces new technology, allows creative destruction, and generates jobs," unquote. That investment is where we are seeing some issues. Investment rate, as measured by gross fixed capital formation, or GFCF, as a percentage of GDP, shows a declining trend. GFCF, as a percentage of GDP, declined from 34.3% in 2011 to 28.8% in 2018. If we consider GFCF in the private sector, it dropped from 26.9% in 2011 to 21.4% in 2018. According to ET, new investment projects announced in 2011 stood at 5,882, but declined to 3,708 in 2018. On the other hand, investment projects that were dropped off in 2011 were 945 and increased to 2,142 in 2018. According to the Indian Express, one good indicator of confidence is new investment proposals. As per the Centre for Monitoring Indian Economy, that value dropped from 20 lakh crore in the 2015-16 period to 16.2 lakh crores, 11.4 lakh crores and 10 lakh crores in the three subsequent fiscals. Between April to June this year, new projects announced, not all of which get off the ground, amounted to 74,000 crores, the lowest since September of 2004, compared to 3,45,000 crore in the same quarter of 2018-19. According to Mint, the value of new projects announced during the April to June 2019 period fell by 79.5% year-on-year. Now, this is the highest fall since September of 2004, we reiterate. This is a fairly effective indicator that businesses might not have faith in the economic future of India, despite what they might profess in public. Investment is important. For instance, according to World Bank data, back in 1990, China's annual per capita GDP was $318, lower than India's $368. In 2018, China's per capita of $9,771 was nearly five times India's, which stands at $2,016. In that period, China's actual GDP shot up from $361 billion to $13.6 trillion. In comparison, India's GDP grew from $321 billion to $2.7 trillion. That fantastic growth that China experienced happened thanks to an investment-driven growth model, which even Chief Economic Advisor Krishnamurthy Subramanian's Economic Survey for 2018-19 highlighted. But as the analysis in the Express explained, it was Chinese state-owned enterprises that invested heavily in aluminium smelters and steel mills, empty airports and bullet trains, highways, or in developing a homegrown telecom equipment and semiconductor industry as part of a strategy to create excess capacity. The analysis concludes that only state-owned enterprises, not private enterprise, could have pulled that off over an extended period. The piece argues that India has three main challenges in terms of such public sector investment. The first is resources. Can the centre risk further slippage in its fiscal deficit target? Second, do public sector undertakings have the necessary project execution skills and managers of the calibre of K.L. Rao, E. Sridharan or Varghese Kurian? Thirdly, as the Express puts it, are there enough projects with land acquisition and statutory clearances completed that can be taken up for immediate execution? Let's see what the center is doing on expenditure. Government expenditure tends to account for 10 to 11% of the Indian economy in current terms without adjusting for inflation. Now, in the last two fiscals, the growth in government expenditure was at 19.1% and 13.2%. The highest since the crisis years of FY09 and FY10. Now, that was instrumental in driving economic growth to some extent. How do things look in 2019-20? The government needs to spend more to spur growth, and for that, tax growth is important. Between April and June 2019, the gross tax revenue of the central government went up by just 1.4% to 4 lakh crore rupees. During the same period in 2018, the gross tax revenue of the central government went up by just 1.4% to 4 lakh crore. During the same period in 2018, gross tax revenue had risen 22.1%. Earlier this week, the Reserve Bank Board decided to transfer 1.76 lakh crore rupees of its excess capital to the government, nearly double the 90,000 crore central bank transfer assumed in the 2019-20 budget. Around 28,000 crores is already accounted for as interim dividend for 2018-19. ET suggests it would be smart to spend the extra amount in bang for buck ways, aimed at the fastest and deepest impact on consumption expenditure. We spoke of an NBFC crisis. In brief, the slowdown in the economy was aggravated by an NBFC crisis triggered by the IL&FS default. The NBFC crisis led to a liquidity crunch that worsened the situation in the economy. Liquidity crisis negatively affected the companies that were plagued with lower sales. For instance, according to the letter written by the SIAM, or Society of Indian Automobile Manufacturers, to the Finance Ministry, 70% of two-wheeler sales and 60% of commercial vehicle sales are financed by the NBFCs. Another crucial parameter is net export. For April to June 2019, net exports stood at minus $46 billion. Now, this number is similar to the net exports for April to June 2018, which was around minus $46.6 billion. This is largely due to exports and imports during the period being at similar levels to last year. There hasn't been any increased economic activity on the exports front either. A declining trend is also evident in the case of gross domestic savings as a percentage of GDP. It fell from 32.7% in 2011 to 29.3% in 2018. Exports as a percentage of GDP also dropped from 24.5% to 19.6%. Overall, the performance of these three indicators, considered to be the major ingredients of a growth story, was unsatisfactory. One reason for this drop is declining wage growth in both rural and urban wages. Rural wage growth declined from 27.7 in FY14 to less than 5% in FY19. Corporate wages experienced single-digit growth in FY19 compared to double-digit growth some years ago. Declining wages could also lead to a slowdown in consumption, which is what the economy is experiencing right now. The substantial drop in wage growth, both rural and urban, in recent times, resulting in lower household savings, has possibly slowed down growth in real per capita income, holding back demand. Then there is the issue of slowing demand. According to a Times of India report, the first quarter of 2019-20 has been marked by weak corporate earnings, indicative of an overall slowdown in various industries and the economy. Some surveys indicate net sales of the sample companies grew at a lower, about 5% rate, compared with about 14% in the comparable quarter of the previous year. Aggregate net profit of the sample companies also grew at a moderate rate of about 7% year-on-year, as against the nearly 25% expansion that was clocked in Q1 of FY19. FMCG has reportedly experienced a slowdown. Nielsen's growth snapshot revealed a decline in FMCG growth trends from 16% in July-September of 2018 to 10% in April-June of 2019. Nestle India CMD Suresh Narayanan told The Times of India, and we quote, "The overall FMCG growth has been going southwards," unquote. Even in the automobile industry, during the April to June 2019 period, car sales fell by 23.3% in comparison to the same period in the previous year. Now, this is the biggest contraction in quarterly sales since 2004. Spiraling car sales negatively impact everyone when it comes to the backward linkages that car manufacturers have, from tire manufacturers to steel manufacturers to component makers. As for forward linkages, many auto dealerships are shutting down or shrinking. Vehicle loan growth slowed to 5.1%, which is the slowest in 5 years. Between April and June of 2019, two-wheeler sales contracted by 11.7%. And that is the biggest fall since October to December 2008, when the last global economic crisis had kicked off. Tractor sales, a fairly good indicator of rural demand, fell by 14.1% during the April to June 2019 period, and this is the highest fall in nearly 4 years. Domestic commercial vehicle sales are an economic indicator of industrial activity. Faster sales indicate robust activity on the infrastructure and industrial front. Sales of such vehicles during the April to June period fell by 9.5%, the highest contraction in 5 years, telling us that all is not well on the investment front. Between April to June 2018, sales had gone up by 51.6%. Another big indicator is housing. According to Mint, India's top 30 cities had 1.28 million unsold housing units as of March 2019, a rise of 7% from March 2018, when the number was at 1.2 million. That implies that new houses are being constructed at a faster pace than people are buying. The real estate sector has forward and backward linkages with 250 ancillary industries. Interestingly, housing loans grew by 18.9% during the quarter against 15.8% last year. So, housing loans are growing even as the number of unsold homes is increasing. What gives? One explanation, according to Mint, could be that consumers are now buying homes from investors who had bought many homes between 2003 and 2012 instead of buying from a builder. To that extent, these are not new homes and hence cannot create the kind of economic activity that the building of a new home can. Next is an issue that's proven contentious in debates around the economy – jobs. Data suggests that India is failing to generate enough jobs and income growth is stagnant. ET reported that the unemployment rate was 5.6% in July of 2018 compared to 7.5% in July 2019. India, despite being a developing economy, has adopted a service-led growth strategy, bypassing industrialization with a share of services at 54% of the economy. Economists call this the, and we quote, missing middle, unquote, a scenario where growth in manufacturing and industry, with their ability to absorb large-scale labor, is missing. Jobs tend to be concentrated in either highly skilled service-driven industries like IT or financial services, or in farms with very low productivity. This means India is not equipped to deal with an impending demographic boom, increasing the risk of our economy falling into a low-income trap with scores of jobless youth. Many media outlets have pointed out that this is already hurting us, and the current slowdown is partially attributable to this phenomenon. A closer look at countries that have a similar share of services to GDP, Russia, South Korea, Mexico, Argentina, Malaysia, and Slovakia, shows that those are economies whose GDP per capita is many times higher than India's. Countries that have managed the transition from low to high income have undergone large-scale industrialization, diversifying and upgrading their production structure, relinquishing dependence on agriculture and natural resources. Even if we hope to double farm income by 2022, we will need to move people out of agriculture. However, this wake-up call comes at a time when technology is changing the landscape of manufacturing rapidly. What the experts say. Moody's Investor Service cut India's GDP growth rate to 6.2% for the calendar year 2019 against its earlier projection of 6.8%. It also scaled down India's economic growth to 6.7% for 2020, a cut of another 0.6 percentage points. Its report explained, and we quote, "While not heavily exposed to external pressures, India's economy remains sluggish on account of a combination of factors, including weak hiring, financial distress among rural households, and tighter financial conditions due to stress among non-bank financial institutions, cooler business sentiment, and slow flow of credit to corporate contribute to weaker sentiments in India." Unquote. D.K. Srivastava, Chief Policy Advisor at EY India, claimed that the economic growth rate stood at 5.8% for the second quarter of the current financial year, adding, and we quote, "The economy would witness higher growth rate in the second half, and my projections are 6.3 to 6.4% for the entire financial year." Unquote. RBI Governor Shaktikanta Das acknowledged that there was a further demand slowdown since the last MPC meet in July. He also said that there is, and we quote, "clear evidence of domestic demand slowing down further," unquote, adding that bolstering dwindling domestic demand and supporting investment activity remain the priorities. Shamika Ravi, a member of the Prime Minister's Economic Advisory Council, said recently that India is facing a structural slowdown. She tweeted recently, and we quote, "need major reforms, not mere tinkering. Leaving economy to the finance ministry is like leaving the growth of a firm to its accounts department," unquote. However, she put a stop to any hyperbole, tweeting, and we quote again, "Nobody is preparing for anything unpleasant. The effort is towards realizing the full potential of India's dynamic economy through concrete next steps." Unquote. According to scroll.in, another member of that council, Ratin Roy, and we quote, has also argued that India is currently dealing with a structural demand problem. Last month, he had said India was facing a silent fiscal crisis because of a shortfall in tax revenues. Unquote. RBI Deputy Governor B.P. Kanungo said that the slowdown is global and not just limited to India. He said that decisions taken by individual countries in their favor can eventually hurt other economies. Hence, the leaders of large countries must act together to revive the global economy. Former RBI Governor Raghuram Rajan called the slowdown very worrisome in his words. He said, and we quote, "There are a variety of growth projections from private sector analysts, many of which are perhaps significantly below government projections. And I think certainly the slowdown in the economy is something that is very worrisome. We need a fresh set of reforms informed by view on what we want India to be. And I would love for that view to be articulated at the very top that here is the kind of economy that we want. One-off programs here and there don't amount to a comprehensive reform agenda for the economy." Unquote. A few days ago, Niti Aayog Vice Chairman Rajiv Kumar had described the current situation as unprecedented. He said, and we quote, "This is an unprecedented situation. In the last 70 years, nobody has faced this sort of a situation where the entire financial system is under threat and nobody is trusting anybody. Within the private sector, nobody is ready to lend. Everyone is sitting on cash." Unquote. Morgan Stanley believes that if the trade war between the US and China carries on, and the US again raises tariffs on all goods imported from China to 25%, we quote, "We could see the global economy entering recession in three quarters." Unquote. It noted, according to Mint, that India is not close to a recession, but is certainly experiencing a slowdown. Some sectors, like the automobile industry, are dangerously close to recession. On the other hand, Yong S. Kim, ED and CSO of Kia Motors India, said, and we quote, "There is some industry slowdown. We believe that the slowdown in the automobile industry is temporary. Customer sentiments will revive again." Unquote. SBI Chairman Rajneesh Kumar disagrees that India is in recession. He said, and we quote, "Decline in auto sales is a global trend. However, there is no shift in demography in India. Aspiration of youths has not changed. We are a country which wants higher growth trajectory. However, we are part of larger global economic systems. When there are global headwinds, we cannot remain unimpacted." Unquote. Thank you for listening to Digging Deeper today.
And finally, a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, stock analysis, and trading recommendations. You can now subscribe to Money Control Pro for just 289 rupees for a year as part of our independence offer. Use the code FREEDOM, FREEDOM. The offer is valid until the 31st of August for Android and desktop users. You can log on to moneycontrol.com to subscribe.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.